You see, when people see the light of God in us, some will come towards it. You have to be a light to attract people into your life so that you can bless them with God.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Let Your Light Shine and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is Let Your Light Shine, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Let your light shine. If you'd like to turn to that in your Bible, say amen when you have it. Today I'll be reading out of the ESV. Your version is fine. Can we please stand one last time in reverence to God's holy word? Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 reads, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." When the light of Christ is in us, we cannot hide it. We at times can try to dim it by not submitting to God. However, ultimately, his light will shine forth. We can dim the light of God that is in us by lack of submitting to God. When we don't do what God is telling us to do, our light becomes dimmer, and the people around us doesn't see it as bright as they should. However, the opposite is true, that when we obey God, we submit to God, and people see us living a godly life, we become a beacon, calling others towards Him, not ourselves. If you ever wonder if you're shining with God's light and not your own, this is how you can tell. Do the people that are in your life, do they worship you, or do they get closer to God because of you? Are they following you, or are they following you as you follow Jesus? That's how you can tell what kind of light you're shining. Are you talking about you, you, you? Does every one of your sentences begin with I, or me, myself, and I? Or does it begin with Jesus? That's how we can check ourselves to see what light we're shining into the lives of other people. Our actions are another way. Do your actions please you? Or do your actions please God? Do you get everything you want? Or do you do everything God asks? Because sometimes God will ask you to do things you don't want to do. Sometimes God will ask you to say things you don't want to say. Sometimes God will ask you to talk to people that you don't want to talk to. Amen. Light dissipates the darkness. Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." At the time of creation, the first thing God did was light up the darkness. Can you tell what God's priorities are? He wants to disperse the darkness. He wants to get rid of it. The first thing he did, the first command that came out of the mouth of God was what? To light up the darkness. if it was that important to God and we're made in his image, what should our priorities be? It's to light up the darkness. Did you know that every person in this room right now has darkness somewhere in their lives that needs to be lit up by the word of God? Look to yourself and see where you're struggling at. I said, look inside yourself and ask God to show you where you're struggling at. And then ask him to give you a scripture that can put some illumination on that area. Once God has fixed what was dark in you, he will use you to light up the darkness in somebody else's life. So the first thing you need to do is get God to light up the areas in your life that you're struggling with. Let him light those, illuminate those. Then you can shine a light for someone else in those same areas once you're delivered. Light dispels many forms of darkness, physical, spiritual, and moral. Now see, there are some physical sins that people can get into. But the light of God does what? Dispels those for those who apply it to their lives. There are spiritual sins, darkness, that people are captive to. I can give you a good example in America. Astrology. Horoscopes. That is witchcraft. That is dark, spiritual. That is evil. But people don't see it that way because they've been exposed to it their whole life. It's hogwash. None of that stuff is true. You can read a horoscope to somebody and tell them it was for their birth sign and it wouldn't be. And they would believe, oh, that sounds just like me. They're written that way. There are moral darknesses that people are into, that the word of God needs to come into someone's life and dispel that. Light exposes truth. Light exposes truth. Often people think they are without sin, but the light of God shows us the truth. Okay? Now, a lot of times when people persecute a Christian, they will say things like, well, you shouldn't have done that because you're a Christian. But being a Christian doesn't make you sinless. It makes you forgiven of sin. John said, if anyone says they are without sin, the light is not in them, right? Why is that? Because the light exposes your need for a Savior. You see, when you are exposed to the light, you know you need a Savior. You know that you cannot get to God because you will never be perfect. You need Jesus Christ to be your bridge. Okay? So often people think they are without sin, but the light of God shows us the truth. See, I didn't know it until the light of God told me in his word that I had sin in me, that everybody has sin. Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 13 says, for at one time you were darkness. Do you get this? You guys, at one time, before Christianity came into your life, before you were Christians, were darkness. The Bible says that you and me and all of us were darkness before Jesus came into us. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, if you are something, you should act like it, right? For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, when I began this, I said, are you pleasing yourself? Or are you pleasing God? That's how you can check your light. See how it's connecting? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Do you know that if you even so much as talk about what people are doing, the Bible says it's shameful. You even talk about what some people are doing in secret. Shame on you. Christian. God doesn't want that stuff even coming out of your mouth. When Christians see sin and untruth in the world, we are to expose it for all the world to see. See, what's going on in America now is that there's so much sin going on that we think that we should be used to it. We should tolerate it. But that's not what the Bible is teaching us. That's why sin has gotten out of hand in America. That's why you have to lock your doors now. That's why when you start your car and put it in the gear, it locks your car doors. Ever wonder why your car does that? It's not to keep you safe in an accident. It's to keep you safe on the road when you make a stop so you don't get hijacked. It's to keep the bad guys out of your car. Amen? Because this country and this world has become so full of sin now that we have to watch every person we're around. Don't you feel a little paranoid out there? Or is it just me? When Christians see sin and untruth in the world, we are to expose it for all the world to see. Don't remain silent when you see someone doing something. Light attracts. If you want to be more attractive to people, forget about hairdos, ladies, nail polish, that new wardrobe. Guys, forget about that fancy car that you're working on to get the ladies, your new hairdo, your new toys. Get some Jesus in you. You'll attract the right woman. You'll attract the right guy. Okay? Light attracts. Everyone loves a sunny day. No one really cares for dark, dreary ones. Don't you love it when the weather's good? Go out to the river or to the lake, throw your pole in. Yeah, see? Go on a Sunday drive, roll the windows down, put the top down on the car if you can. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that sound like a nice? Yeah. Come on. How many people invited you to a picnic when it was raining? How many people? How many picnics have you gone on purpose when it's raining, pouring rain? You go when it's nice weather, right? How many people are you going to attract when you're a sad sack? When people see the light of God in us, some will come towards it. God calls those he chooses to come into the light. So when you're doing what God's asking you to do, the ones that God has called, you're going to be their beacon. You're going to be that flashing light. They're going to be attracted to you. They're going to naturally come to you because they're going to see Jesus and he's calling them through you. But if you're not being obedient, you don't act as a beacon. You don't act as a guide. You see, God, he blesses you through other people who are obedient to his word. God wants to bless every single person in this room, but he also wants to use everyone in this room to be a blessing. The problem is that enough people today don't want to be the blessing. They want to be the receiver of the blessing. But you reap what you sow. So if you let God use you as a blessing, he's going to turn around and use another obedient Christian to bless you. But you don't see it that way. You see it like the world sees it. I better get mine, and I'm in control of my destiny, and I'm going to make it happen for me. It's not going to work that way. You see, when people see the light of God in us, some will come towards it. You have to be a light to attract people into your life so that you can bless them with God. Our lives are to attract others to Jesus as they will see God's character reflected in us. Our lives are to attract others to Jesus. We are to make a viable impact on the world. We cannot get into ministry to have people look at us. We can't get into ministry so that we can get a badge. We can get some kind of attention from the church. This is what I do for the church. I just wanted everybody to know this. So the point that I'm making is that when you get in the ministry, You don't do it for yourself. It's self-sacrificial. It is not for the weak in Jesus. You got to be prayed up. You have to be worded up. You got to know your stuff, because this is hard work, and it's not for those who want to be a beacon to themselves. Rather, our lives are to attract others to Jesus. If somebody is seeing you in ministry, shame on you. They should be seeing Jesus. If all you do is talk about what you do for the church and what you do for Jesus, shame on you. You're pointing yourself out. They should see Jesus, and they should hear Jesus, and they should know Jesus because of you. You should just remain in the background. You need to become less so he may become more. When people see you, you should reflect Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, as a Christian, God will continue polishing you until you reflect his son, Jesus. Why do you think your life is being rubbed so hard right now? Why do you think God is scrubbing you with that sandpaper? That hurts so bad. It's to get your flesh out of the way so Jesus can shine through. That's what he wants. Light repels. As it attracts, it also repels. Okay, so just as some are attracted to God's light, so are others repelled by it. You see, if God hasn't chosen somebody, they're not one of his children. And those people will be repelled by the light. They want to live in their sin. They want to indulge in their sin. And when light comes around, you're spoiling the party. What do you mean I can't be sexually immoral? I don't care what the Bible says. That's not the God I serve. My God says that I can do whatever I want. My God understands my sin. Now, of course your God understands. You're your own God. That's why your God understands your sin. You're worshiping self. You understand everything about you, but not the God of the Bible. So some people are repelled by that. How dare you tell me about hell? My God would never send me to hell. Your God doesn't exist. He can't send anyone anywhere. Praise God. John 3, verses 19 through 21, and this is the judgment. How many of you guys know you've already been judged? You guys get this? There is no court when Jesus comes back. Court is adjourned. The judgment's been laid down. There is no hearing in heaven. People think I'm going to get up there and explain myself to God. It's not going to happen. This is the judgment. It's written in the Word. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. When you're doing something evil, you hide from church. When you're doing something evil, you hide from Christians. When you're doing something evil, you don't read the Bible. When you're doing something evil, you don't speak to God. Adam, where are you? I was hiding. Why? Because I was naked. In other words, I sinned. And he was hiding from God. Why? Because he was in the dark. The first thing he did was hide. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. In other words, when you're doing the right thing, you're coming to church. When you're doing the right thing, you're reading the Word. When you're doing the right thing, you're talking to God, because you're on the right track. But if you're on the wrong track and you start talking to God, he's going to talk to you about your sin. And you don't want to hear that. Because every time that you're involved in a sin and you start talking to God, he's going to deal with you on that sin. And so you're going to stop talking to God. You're not going to come to the light, because you're going to go to the sin instead of the light. Because when you read the Word of God, you're going to find a passage that condemns the sin that you're doing. So you're going to stop reading the passages. You're going to go to the dark. Christians can fall into this trap. It's called backsliding. And then you know what happens? You put your light under a basket. Because you're not obeying God. So how are you going to shine the light on the others to have them obey God? Light brings sin to a halt. Deer will often freeze when a light is shined on them. Sin comes to a stop when the light of God is shined on it. You could be like doing something and you don't even know it's a sin, but you're reading the Word of God and boom, you come across the passage and the Lord speaks to you and you're like, whoa, forgive me, God. I knew not what I was doing. That's not an excuse, but the light can shine into your life. You can come to church and the preacher man speaking can be talking about a subject that's sin and you're involved in it and the Word of God convicts you. The pastor doesn't even know what you're into, but God is speaking through him. And you're thinking, how does the pastor know what I'm up to? He doesn't, but God knows. And you're like, ouch, ouch, this hurts. Some people leave this place saying, you beat me up today, pastor. I didn't know. I didn't know I was doing that. Christians are called to shine their lights on sin and bring it to an end. You need to end sin, starting with yourself. You need to control yourself first so you can get the sin out of other people. How are you going to help somebody else if you're stuck in it yourself, right? You're both going to be in the mud. Christians are called to shine their light on sin and bring it to an end. Christ is the real light. Don't make no mistake. You have no light without Jesus, okay? We're almost done. John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's read this in reverse. Let's go backwards with this, okay? Whoever does not follow me will walk in darkness and will not have the light of life. You see where you are when you don't follow Jesus? The opposite is true of this. There's no other way to read this. This is an absolute. Some people say, well, you know, there's always a middle. No, there's not. This is an absolute. This is what Jesus said. But if you don't believe Jesus, you're not going to believe me. If you don't believe me, you're not going to believe Jesus because we're speaking the same language up here. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Look, if you guys are struggling in your life and you don't know which way to turn, why don't you start following Jesus? He'll take you where you're going and quit worrying about where he's taking you. You know, the number one reason why people don't follow Jesus is because they don't know where they're going with him. Do you think he has to answer to us? Where are we going? You tell me where we're going and I'll follow you. That's not faith. You follow me and I'll take you where I'm leading you. Or you can go your own path. Ooh, you'll be in trouble then. Because you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be. Last but not least, there's other functions of light. Light provides power. As a church, we could be powerful. Okay? As a church, we could make a powerful impact for this community around here. But we need to work together. We all need to be on the same page. We all need to be out there evangelizing, getting people into the doors so that we can make disciples and bring them forth. We can't just sit here on Sunday and go home and say, well, I'm just here as a spectator. You can't do that. You can't do that. You're receiving the Word of God. You're getting something from God, but you're giving nothing back. That's not right, is it? Light makes things grow. When you get the light of God in you, you will grow spiritually. And you will become the light to other people, and they will grow spiritually. But without light, things starve. Without light, things get dim. Without light, things get weak. They shrivel up, and they're gone. Light brightens our mood. You feeling depressed? Get some light of God in you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Light brings understanding. If you're feeling confused about the Word of God, read it. That don't make sense, Pastor. What are you talking about? That don't make sense. God wrote the Bible through the hand of man, but God still inspired it, right? And he knows it. And if you keep reading it, he'll give you understanding. He'll turn the light bulb on. Amen? Conclusion, without Jesus, we have no light of our own. Come to Jesus today and let him be your light so that you can illuminate the way to Christ for others.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.